Amen. Today, friends, we want to consider a thought that was raised by our very own Elise Tukes, who's 9 years old, in Bible study this past Wednesday night as the basis for part three of our sermon series entitled Pursuing Holiness. Now, Elise asked for the meaning of Jesus Christ's response to Martha's statement about the resurrection of her brother Lazarus in John chapter 11. And I'm convinced that if a nine-year-old can ask such an impressive and in-depth theological question, then we ought to be really into God's word so that we can also have these questions about how the word reflects and how the word applies to our lives as adults as well. Elise had learned a verse in class, a scripture in class, and it was this. In John chapter 11, verse 24, Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day," speaking of her brother Lazarus, to Jesus. Verse 25, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." And then Jesus asked Martha a profound question. He says, "Do you believe this? I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" The key question that comes out of this particular text is, how does one know they will live forever? And this is a question that people have wrestled with through centuries, and a question that has been asked to me time and time again. How do I know, Pastor, that I will live forever? Two words lead us to this answer that we will consider today. They are grace and justification. Grace and justification. How does one know that they will live forever? How does one know that they will have life eternal? How does one get past the concept that we can't live life on this earth forever, but there is another life that we can live forever? How does one get to that answer? Well, two words, grace and justification. Grace comes from the Greek word charis, which means God's kindness or unmerited favor and forgiving love. It is God's forgiving love towards us. It is a gift that cannot be earned. I know we try to earn so much in life. We try to do good things. We try to do excellent things. We try to do great things to earn gifts because we feel like we deserve them. But grace is a gift that God gives us that we do not deserve, but he gives it freely. And he gives it because he loves us. It is God's kindness. It is God's unmerited favor and forgiving love towards us. The word justification means to be pronounced just and righteous or acquitted by God the judge, to be made, or in other words, to be made right with God. Grace is the unmerited, kind, loving gift that God gives each and every one of his people. Justification means to be made right with God. So why are grace and justification so important in the life of a believer? And we've been talking about this concept of pursuing God's holiness. And we understand that holiness is being set apart. Holiness is being consecrated for the glory of God. Holiness is being set apart, being different from the world because we are under the umbrella of God's grace and God's love for us. And so grace and justification, why are these so important? Three verses stand out in our inquiry of this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1a says this, "As for you, us, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." Colossians 1:21, you don't have to turn there with me. "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior." And then probably the most known, Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." The reason that justification and grace are so important is because we, by nature, are sinful. Okay? Sin entered the world by way of Adam. And so when we were born into the world, we were by nature sinful. And it says here, as you were dead in your transgressions and sins. And so it already brings up the word death. How can somebody be alive and dead at the same time? Well, it's a spiritual death. Because you are not made truly alive until you accept Jesus Christ. Okay? Verse 23 of Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Because we are made in the image of God, but because of Adam's sin, the image of God was not fully lost. Okay? The image of God has not been fully lost. But as sinners, we do not reflect that image. And so in order for the image of God to be reflected in our lives, we have to have something that could take away our sin and justify us and make us right with God. What justifies us is grace through faith. And we'll get to that in a minute. Think of it like this. If you think about an apple apart from its preservation source, an apple starts out really beautiful. It's really pretty when it comes off the tree. But if it's not linked up to its preservation source, after a little while, it begins to decay. The inside begins to decay, and then you begin to see it decaying on the outside. Well, the same is with the human condition. When we are apart from the preservation source of God's grace, God's love through Jesus Christ, we may start off looking good. You know, we come out of the womb, we get raised up, we get a little money, you know, we get a little status, get some friends. You know, we get some benefits, we get all these things, and we look really good. But after a little while, if we remain apart from God's grace, if we remain apart from the love of Jesus Christ because we haven't accepted him, it is our soul that begins to, in other words, decay. It is our soul that becomes so embedded with sin that it begins to show on the outside. It begins to show in the way you live. It begins to show in the way you talk to people. It begins to show in the way you perceive life. It begins to show in your relationships. It begins to show in how you manage your finances because you have not linked up with the preservation source. And so grace and justification allows us to link up with the preservation source, Jesus Christ, so that our inherited or our inherent sinful nature might be replaced with holiness. Are you with me? So the question then becomes, how is one justified? So we understand why one is justified. One is justified because, or justification is important because we are by nature sinful. We need God's grace. We need God's love. We need salvation through Jesus Christ to erase our sins. That's why justification is important. Well, how are we then justified? How does one become justified? How does one become in right relationship with God? Well, a couple verses here. Romans 10, 9 through 10 says this. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. We'll get to that in a minute. And then Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God. Last week we talked about the heart. And we noted that the heart is so important because what you put into your heart and what comes out of your mouth is a direct reflection of what's on your heart. Well, grace is that grace, and we'll call it prevenient grace because this is one of John Wesley's teachings. Prevenient grace is that grace that moves upon the affections of the heart. It is what causes the heart to come to God. It is that grace that prevents us often from dealing with certain things in life because God is acting upon our affections. God is acting upon our human emotions to come to him. And so it says when you confess with your mouth, well, what proceeds out of your mouth? What's in your heart? And when we have that core conviction, I believe, in our hearts that Jesus Christ is Lord, that we repent of our sins, that God, we're sorry, I know I've done this, I know I've done that, I know I've been wrong my entire life. But when we have that heart transformation, what proceeds out of our mouth is the confession, okay? If you confess with your mouth that which proceeds from your heart, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Okay? For by grace you have been saved through faith. We are justified. Hear this. We are justified by faith in Jesus Christ alone. It is by faith alone. Many people will say, well, how can I be justified and I really haven't done any good things all my life? How can Jesus Christ want me to be his child and I've only lied my entire life? I gossip my entire life. I hurt people my entire life. I've been such a bad person my entire life. How can God want me to come into his family to be a part of his kingdom and I've lived this way my entire life? Well, that's why we're justified by faith alone. Because it does not take works to get in. If we were judged on the basis of what we did, all of us would be messed up. Amen? If we were judged on the basis of everything we've done in life, then that would not credit us or warrant us for getting in. But the word says we are justified by faith in Jesus Christ alone. Think of a car battery. A car battery, when it's dead, you know, it's still a battery. It still has identification as a battery, but it has no power. It has no life. But when you hook some booster cables up or a power source to it, it gives the battery life. Okay? When we link up with Jesus Christ, the power of God through Jesus Christ gives the believer life. That's when we start to live. Okay? But just like a battery in a car, when you charge it up, what does it then have to do? It has to run in the car. It has to run in the vehicle. It gives the vehicle power. So the vehicle, when you go to the store, when you go to the mall, when you go on trips, you have a battery in your car that operates, that works, that's powered. Some people may ask the question, well, if I'm saved by justification and by faith alone, I don't have to do anything. You know, aren't I saved? You know, what do I have to do after I'm saved? You'll have some people come with a theology of once saved, always saved. Is salvation simply a one-time thing, a one-time deal? Is salvation simply a one-event deal? Well, the answer to that is yes and. Yes and. It's important to understand the concept of justification because justification happens in an instant. It is an instantaneous event that saves the spirit, okay? It is an instantaneous event that saves the spirit. So yes, in a sense, we are saved. But there's also a process called sanctification. And we'll talk about this next week. There's also a process called sanctification that begins in the exact moment that one is justified. So it's one event, two different things. One event, two different natures, if you will. We are justified by faith in Jesus Christ alone. We're justified. Our spirit is renewed. Our spirit is transformed. We are regenerated. We are made anew. Hear this. But that does not mean we have to go back to doing the same things we've always been doing. From that point on, God requires his children to live a life and go into the process of sanctification. And we'll get to that next week. Salvation is both instantaneous and it is continual. Why is this important? It's important because once one has been justified and the spirit is saved, human beings are made up of three components: body, soul, spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. So once the spirit comes into contact with Jesus Christ, the spirit is saved. We have the seed of God implanted in us and our spirit is saved. But that soul that has been disconnected from the Spirit of God, which now dwells in us, because remember now, our soul over a time period has been what? Decaying. It's been sinful. What that now means is that our soul is going through a process of sanctification. Why is it so important that we stay in God's Word then? Why is it so important that we come to Bible study? Why is it so important that we are in our cell groups? Why is it so important that we fellowship with one another? But more importantly, why is it so important that we pray and spend time with God, developing our relationship? Because once we are justified by faith alone through Jesus Christ, and once the Spirit of God comes into us, saves our spirit, it is that constant feeding of God's word through a relationship with Him that will reform and sanctify our souls. And once our soul is being made over, then you begin to see it work out in your body. Body, soul, spirit. Or it could be said, spirit, soul, body. Because once God comes in contact with our spirit feeds our soul is being renewed, our soul is being transformed, and then all of a sudden we begin to live differently. See, that's why justification is so important. And a lot of people want to skip over this part of the salvation process. But justification by grace through faith is critically important if we're going to live lives for Jesus Christ. And so the question then is, if justification brings us into a right relationship with God, because remember, grace is that unmerited, free, kind gift that God gives us. We don't deserve it. We can't do anything to earn it, but God gives it to us anyway. Justification brings us into right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So if justification brings us into right relationship, what are the benefits? What are the blessings that come from being justified? Let's consider one in particular. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5 in your Bibles. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Let's look at the benefit of being justified. The benefit of justification. It says, verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. The benefit of justification, hear this. The benefit of justification is peace with God. The benefit of justification, let me say that again, is peace with God. Now, it's important that we understand the context here, because these individuals in Rome would have understood this concept of peace. Paul here is writing to a predominantly Gentile community. So these are Gentiles who have been converted to Christianity. And so he writes to them, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Gentiles would often be criticized and ridiculed and scrutinized because they were not circumcised like the Jews were. And so they were often persecuted because they were not circumcised like the traditional Jewish individual was. And so when Paul writes this to them, and because also Gentiles were by nature sinful, they were the folks in society who were known to be the most sinful people. You know, Jews would not associate with Gentiles because of what they did, because of their pagan ways. Okay? But Paul writes and says, look, my Gentile friends, look, since we have been justified, since you have been made right with Jesus Christ, no matter what you did in the past, no matter what pagan rituals you did, you've been made just through faith, through your faith in Jesus Christ. You didn't have to be circumcised. I didn't make you do a whole bunch of stuff, jump through a whole bunch of hoops. But since you have been justified through faith, we have peace with God, okay? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into grace, into this grace in which we now stand. Now, it's important that we get this, okay? Because what the first thing that people think about when we think about peace is what? It's harmony. It's I have a calm about myself. I've gone through something and I'm calm. I'm not worried. I'm not stressed out. But the peace that Paul is talking about here, it's not just you have a calm. It's not just, you know, you have this good feeling about yourself that when trouble comes, you have peace. It's not just that good feeling, but it's a change in status. It's a change in status. Because they were Gentiles, and it's similar to us as well, because we have been separated from God, we had a status of outcast. We were not in God's family. You know, the Bible tells us that in essence, we were adversaries of God. We were enemies of God because we were not in God's family. But through justification, through accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, there is now peace between us and God. It's a change in status. Think about nations that have been at war for years. And they've had this tension. They've had this one thing that separate, one or two or however many things that separated them. And they were not at peace. They were not one with each other. They did not have something in the middle that said, we're going to meet and we're going to agree on this thing. They were enemies of one another. So they had one status. They were enemies. But when somebody brings forth a peace treaty, when someone brings forth a treaty that says, by this one thing, we are going to not be enemies anymore, but we're going to come together and we're going to unite over this one thing, their status changes. At one time they were enemies, now they have peace. The same thing is what Paul was saying about the Gentiles. Now that you are justified freely through faith in Jesus Christ, we have peace. In other words, your status changes. Some people stress over so much. Some folks stress over finances. How am I going to pay for this? How am I going to pay for that? Lord, I can't even put groceries on my table. Lord, I can't feed my children. God, I got all this educational debt. I've been in college for all these years and I've got these financial troubles. God, Lord, my house payment is due. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make it because of these finances. Some people stress so much over relationships. God, you know, this relationship didn't work out as well as I thought it should have worked out. God, I put all of my time, my energy, my efforts into this relationship. I tried to get along with this person, even though they didn't want to get along with me. God, how in the world did I get to this place where I'm not functioning properly in my relationships? God, why am I so stressed out over these relationship issues? Some people stress out so much about their health. Lord, I got a bad report from the doctor. And you know, God, I've been taking all my medication. I've been going to my regular checkups. God, I've been eating healthy. I've been eating right. But Lord, my health is still not where it needs to be. Some folks are even stressed out about their eternal security. Lord, where am I going to spend the rest of my life? God, I know that you rose from the dead. I know that Jesus Christ is Savior. But it's hard for me to live this life because so many people expect so much of me. And God, I'm buckling down under the pressure. And I want to do right. I want to live right. I want to be who you've called me to be. But God, this thing is so hard. I don't even know if I'm going to end up in eternity with you. Some people stress out about their eternal security. So much stress in the world each and every day. And we feel it. Woke up this morning, I didn't have the best day. I walked and I've stumbled and I've just been down. And now my entire day is ruined because of what happened to me this morning. Stress. And stress causes people to do so many things, not only to themselves, but to people around them. And you know when somebody's stressed out because they just bring this just aura about themselves and they bring it around you and it sometimes rubs off on you. And you want to tell them, just go sit down and go deal with it because the stress that you have on yourself is now rubbing off on me. Stress. And the issue with stress is that oftentimes we forget the status that we have. Oftentimes we forget the status that we've gained through justification. You see. The status that we have now is not that we don't have someone who we can go to when we're stressed out, but because through Jesus Christ, through justification, we have come into right relationship now, and we've been justified by the free gift of God's kindness through his grace, now we have someone that we can take our stress to because our status has changed. See? That's why justification is so important. Henry Nouwen, one of the great theologians from Harvard, said this. He said, Christian leadership must be rooted in the permanent, intimate relationship with the incarnate word, Jesus. And there they need to find their source for their words, advice, and guidance. Have you ever went to somebody with your stress and they just gave you some horrible advice? And instead of going to God first, we go to other people first. Instead of taking our problems to the Lord, instead of taking advantage of the status that we have through justification, through Jesus Christ, with God, we go to other people and they just give us sometimes horrible advice. You know, handle this in relationship, do that in your relationship, call this person, don't call this person, give it to, you know, give you some horrible advice. But I love what Henry Nouwen says. He says, look, go to Jesus Christ, which is the source for your words, which is the source for your advice, which is the source for your outcomes in life. Go to Christ, because that's where your justification lies and that's where your status lies. And finally, let's talk about quickly three aspects of peace, because these are so important. And we got to get this thing about peace, because if we're truly going to live confidently in Jesus Christ, we've got to know that this status comes with benefits also. This change in the status with God through justification in Jesus Christ also has benefits to it. The first benefit of peace with God is that we can now rejoice in our sufferings. Verse 3 of Romans chapter 5, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts, again, through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The benefit of having a status change with God is that our character is now developed. So those things that used to stress you out so much in the past, those things you used to lose sleep over, those things you could not get past, those people that used to make you so upset, that gossip that you used to hear all the time, all the stuff that you used to deal with in your life has been changed because you have encountered Christ. And because you've encountered Christ, your character is now being developed. There are not many other greater things, I think, in the Christian life, in the Christian faith, than one's character being developed. When you see what you used to do and how you used to live and how you used to act and how you used to function, but you look back over your life and you see where you are now, 10 years ago you used to say this and respond this way, but now you respond that way, you see, because your character has been developed. And that makes you feel good. It makes you feel like you've accomplished something, and it makes you understand and feel as if the status that you have with God through Jesus Christ is now working for you. So we're able to rejoice in our sufferings. Paul rejoiced in his sufferings. This is one of the core teachings of Paul. And I love why Paul says this, because he says, look, no matter what I go through, no matter how many times I'm beat, imprisoned, or plotted against, or stoned, or whatever, I'm going to rejoice in my sufferings, because I know when I suffer, my suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. You see, the Bible, one place says, you know, we don't mourn as someone who has no hope. That's people who have no hope. You know? And we've been justified through faith alone, so we have a hope, and that hope is in Jesus Christ. Secondly, the second benefit is that we are saved from God's wrath. Now, this is important. You will have some people that don't believe that there's a hell. You know, there's no such thing as a hell. You know, that God is gonna, you know, save everybody, this universalist mentality, and that's just not true. Because we will all face a judgment from God, and this is not something that we fear. And one thing that we have to get past and get beyond is fearing the last days, fearing the judgment of God. Because those who are found in Christ, those who have been justified freely by faith in God through Jesus Christ alone, the second benefit of that status change that we have with God is that we will be saved from God's wrath. That will be saved from the judgment. It says here in verse 9, since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more, I like that, much more, shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. You ask, what is the wrath of God then? Revelation, I think, speaks most vividly about this. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. It says this, and the wrath of God is simply eternal judgment and separation from God. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 says this, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Now it says the second death. before, if Jesus Christ doesn't come back, we will all experience death. My grandmother used to say, my grandfather used to say as well, you know, sure enough you come into this world, sure enough you're going to leave. You know, we all live and we all will die unless Jesus Christ comes back. But it speaks here of a second death. Going back to that resurrection language that, you know, if you believe in me, you will not, you know, he who believes in me will live and never die. Well, this is also spiritual. There will be a second death, a judgment. And if we are found just and made right with Jesus Christ, we are saved from that. We are saved from eternal punishment, saved from eternal judgment, because we've been justified. And this is why that peace and that status change with God is so important. Because when we accept that free gift of justification through Jesus Christ, it means we're saved. And thirdly, which we'll pick up next week, thirdly, it guides our journey towards being made perfect, towards entire sanctification. And we'll pick up there next week. In closing, Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Friends, do you believe this? Because if you do, by God's grace, through faith, you are justified. Pray with me. God, we give you thanks for grace and justification.